Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus is not asking the gay person to change and be straight. I'm going to start off a little bit by a caller. I'm going to see if I could get it on my computer right here. Hold on just a second here.
Hi, I'm calling this regarding the Gay for Jesus, and I'm just a little confused if you are preaching on the actual act of homosexuality, which Jesus himself says, Sodom and Gomorrah confirms in the Bible is a sinful act, or if being gay I don't believe it's a choice, but the act is a sin. That's undebatable. Jesus Christ himself clarifies that in the Bible, not by the Bible. Not anyone's Bible, but the actual Bible, so it's black and white. So I'm just curious if you can, specify that, because being gay, as I said, I don't believe it's a choice. The act, though, is, therefore, it is a sin. And if you were trying to promote that, then you are contradicting the actual Bible, and I will pray for you. You can
leave
a message. Thank you.
So, that viewer was watching at least part of my program. And if you notice that, hope you heard it okay, but some of the things that you noticed as he was speaking, he's used things, the similar thing that most people that I call homophobes say. That it's simple. Jesus said it. You know, why people, if something is so, like he said, it's black and white. Where is it black and white? I mean, if you people want to say gay is sin, isn't it about time here in 2008 that you begin to, all of this simpleness, begin to explain it? To the gay person, or the community, or your church, how you get words like sodomite to mean homosexual. How you get Jesus saying out of his own mouth that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of gays. I mean, how do you do it? This guy said he was gay. Now, gays grow up just like you. They could be in strict Christian families, and they're told daily. They go to church. They hear the same thing. It's so simple. God says it. It's in the Bible. Gay is sin. So there are lots and lots of gays that think gay is sin. Some of them just kind of accept it, make agreements with God. They're going to go about life. Others go to ex-gay ministries. If you count the numbers of ex-gay ministries and the people and those that have gone through that with actual gays in the world, you probably can't even get close to even 1% of the gays. It's probably less than 10% of a 1%. It's a 0.1. You know, it's almost you can't even see the numbers compared to the real number of gays. See, you need to use the real stuff, real information, real facts. You think gays twist scripture. Then why is it you won't untwist it? You can't untwist it by saying, it's simple. People, you're smarter than that. You can't be that kind of stupid, can you? I don't think so. Because on so many other topics of the Bible, you present a wealth of information, a wealth of facts, a wealth of historical records. But on the gays, on this issue here, you just say it's simple. Jesus says it. Well, Jesus' actual word said gay is not sin because a phrase he used represents a kind of person that the historical written documents and writings of the time that Jesus was alive, that goes in, when you do the give it the strict criteria of what you're looking for to make a person a gay person, that they're born perfectly whole, so there can't be a unique in the fashion of they're born without parts, or they are got the parts but they don't work, or some other kinds of stuff. But what the research to go into finding gays in history to see if there's anything written about gays is that you have to have a perfectly healthy human being. That if they did mate with the opposite sex, babies would happen with not any problem. Of course, history shows that this happens all the time. Gays can produce babies just as easily as straights can. There is no hindrance, biologically, physically speaking, for gays' anatomy. So this is the kind of criteria that needs to be done when you're looking for people in the past to see if certain words and phrases, how you find what kind of ways people talked about gays in the day of Jesus or the day of Moses. There's so much information, people. There's tens of thousands of documents. Are you so smart to be able to come to a gay person and tell them that you have researched all this? And so in your research of all the documentation, literature of Jesus' day, you come up with gay as sin? This is really, really difficult to understand. And so, hold on a minute. So tell me, people, how do you get gays in the Bible? How are gays twisting the scripture? That's what I would really like you to tell me. And if you're gay and you change to become an ex-gay, then can you please answer some questions for me? A lot of the ex-gays, there's a period of time here. A gay person hears so much information all his life that gay is sin. They came to Jesus, have this experience of coming to Christ, getting born again, and all that kind of stuff, and they remember all that they were told that gay is sin. Now, most people, generally speaking, don't care to read. You can flick the TV on. Generally, the input of information is just kind of gathered by the surrounding areas as the day you first opened your eyes and saw what you saw, and then you learn to talk, and you hear all this stuff. You learn to talk because year after year, you're hearing your parents and your kids and whatever, your brothers and sisters, whatever, talking, and there you are talking. Sometimes you get interested. Some get interested in science. Some people get interested in becoming a teacher, doctor, a contractor of some sort, or, you know, all manner of careers and interests. And you look more into it. You go to college and you get all this kind of thing. You would think a gay person that is beginning to decide that they better be straight would do likewise, to research, to study. Because one thing about turning, as it were, to straight, you don't turn to straight. You stay gay, so you're in denial. You're living a pretend life. And again, like I said, physically, biologically, you could produce babies and you could, you know, have sex. And hey, we love our pets. We love our cars. We can love anything. And so what you might call love between your spouse, if you're gay and you became ex-gay, isn't equating necessarily to the being straight. Straight's pretty easy to tell. It's kind of cut and dry. I mean, often, I know many of you watch me don't do that, but I've heard so often that, oh, just put a sack over the woman's head, and it does not matter anything else. Let me add it. We got straight famous people. They boast of 2,000 to 4,000 sexual partners. Jay's got the expertise on straights because we are surrounded by you. So we know your intimate sex life because you tell it to us. And straights, I mean gays, going to ex-gay ministries and such, and or trying to be straight, aren't doing the straight behavior. They're doing a ritual duty as it was. And you could talk to them and you could find out a good number of ex-gays that stay ex-gay a little bit longer than the normal couple of years have a lot of investment. Their testimony of their lifetime shows they were bisexual. And their testimony after they became ex-gay shows they're not ex-gay. That's one thing interesting. When you study, you read things. You say, I'm a liar, I'm twisting scripture. No, I get the actual testimony of a wife of an ex-gay man, and I read it. Years and years of struggling. And she's just hanging in there, but she's getting so frustrated so much because he's off going off down to these bars sometimes. And he's... People, I don't care what you're thinking, you better start thinking, you better study. At the beginning of the program, you heard this guy. And I don't, maybe some of you tuned in now and didn't hear that little voice message I put in there from a viewer. But this is typical. This is about the best you people that think gay is sin can do. Over 800,000 of you over the years I've talked with, and that little voice message I have tells it all in a nutshell. You just do not want to explain how you get gays into the Bible. And I would like you to do that. See, right there on my screen there, there's a phone number, a voice box. Now, you can, if you're going to leave a message on my voice box, can't you say why? Now, do you think I don't know the verses you're going to use? This is another amazing thing about people that think gay is sin, is they really think the people they're talking to don't or never have ever read the Bible before in their life. And then they have no clue about what scriptures are used to condemn gays. I know the verses. Why won't you explain it to me? There's my email there. You could chat with me. I'm on Yahoo Chat all the time, Gays for Jesus. And I'm in Christian chat rooms all the time. People, how do I get you? How do I plead with you? How do I ask you? Because all you're going to do is send another voicemail saying, it's so simple. If it's so simple, why don't you explain it? Why do you tell me I twist scriptures? I didn't write history. I didn't write or study. I didn't have the multi-language expertise and the tools and so forth to go into to exhaustively gather together writings to know that in all documentations that we have today, we can find that arsenic cotes was used 76 times since Paul, up to the 16th century. 1,600 years and only 76 documented uses of the word arsenes cotes, and yet this word is almost the mainstream today to condemn gays. So now you have 76 documented uses of this word arsenes cotes, which so many homophobes think means gays. And when you look at the usages in history up to the 16th century, you'll find out that arsenic cotes was used when you got enough information in the sentence and enough documentation so you could see what they're meaning, you will find that it's talking about sex out of species most of the time. Now, the other times when you don't have a lot of information or some information so you could see what are they meaning when they're talking about arsenic and codeine, you have a list of stuff which arsenic and codeine might be a part of, and the gist of the conversation there in the documentation has not even the remotest hint of gay life as we know it, let alone same-sex relationship. And yet, somehow today, we use this word as it's an absolute proof that gay is sin. So generally speaking, Greeks just didn't use the word. Christians used the word over a 1600 period time to try to talk about certain kinds of sex that has nothing to do with anything that is resembling homosexuals, gay people, at all. Paul got this word, and it is an completely, 100%, even though it's manipulated a little bit, but it's right derived from the Hebrew word sodomite. And the word sodomite is absolutely, it is the most specifically understood word that can exist if you just do a little study. And it is these big, huge fertility temples all over. Paul woke up, oh, let me wash my eyes with water, eat some breakfast, and I'm going to go take my walk out, got to go to the store, buy something, you know, after all, I'm in Rome, I'm kind of under house arrest, and close the door, I'm walking down the, oh, there's church on every corner. That's what we say today, you know. Of course, there's not a church on every corner, but when we walk out, we can see, we like to say, church on every corner. What did Paul see? A fertility temple on every corner. In Corinth, a fertility temple on every corner. The biggest, most famous of them all. And Paul visited the temple not to go and experience the worship of it, but to go in there as a tourist. I went to Paris not too long ago, had my camera, went into Notre Dame. Yeah, I'm not a Catholic, never will be, never want to be. I have some pretty strong feelings about the background of Catholic, at least the hierarchy of it. But why did I go there? It's a famous building. Everybody in the world knows it. It's got fantastic history and all that. And here I am standing there. And so I'm walking inside, and I get into a position, I say, gay is not sin, and Jesus is not asking the gay person to change and be straight. People, Paul went into fertility temple, the biggest one. In that temple had this row of the statues of the god, which one of the gods was called the unknown god, which later, epistles of Paul, he talked about. Here's the god you even call unknown, and I'm telling you, this is God, Father of Jesus Christ, died for your sins while on to preach the gospel. That's the temple Paul went into. And then Paul walked down the street, down next corner, another fertility. And he looks through the door. Do you know what he sees? Sometimes he sees a priest that has cut off his thingy. Because, you know, straight men actually like women. So when they go to these fertility temples, it's a little bit better kind of thing to see a man dressed up like a woman that doesn't have a thingy. And there were thousands, in the temple that Paul went into, there were visited, there were thousands, over 1,000 temple prostitutes in that one temple. In Jerusalem, they even built little, we might call them whorehouses, of these fertility temples right against the temple of God. The walls, the outside walls of it. And Paul went on to Rome. Walking down Rome. What's he see? A fertility temple on every corner. But yet, I mean, this is the fact. And hey people, I'm twisting scripture, aren't I? To tell you that Paul saw a fertility temple on every... Now, I want you to tell me something. Where were the gay bars? Where was the gay churches or something? Where was the gay park? Where was the hangout of gays? So that when Paul walked down the street and God's inspiring him to write and he's seen all these fertility temples and he's seen Hebrew men that are married with kids are going to these fertility temple prostitutes and worshiping that God or goddess so that they can get blessings for their family back home. Paul didn't particularly like Hebrew men going to fertility temple prostitutes. This is an absolute, this is what Paul saw all the time. This is what Moses saw all the time. They didn't like this. But tell me, people, if you're saying I'm twisting the scripture, where did Paul, there's Paul, there's God come down. Paul, stay asleep. I'm giving you a night vision. Condemn gays flat out across the board. Call them fertility temples. Prostitute. Is that how Paul got inspired to condemn gays? Because you say he condemned gays. There's got to be more to it than you stating Paul's talking about gays. Because Paul's walking out there. Where's the K-bar? Well, they didn't really have gay bars in those days. Ah. Well, where's the hangout cave? Well, you know, we sort of know the agnostics kind of was that kind of way. But, you know, when you get into the study of that, you'll find out that Jesus went to these agnostic type people, hung out in these kind of caves a little bit with them in the actual historical record type of thing. And, in fact, that there were some plenty enough gays in those, and there was not a hint of condemnation of this by Jesus. Then you need to get this documentation out about Paul, because you're saying Paul condemns gays. Not any of the other apostles, just Paul. So some gays don't like Paul because they believe you. But Paul isn't talking about gays. You love Romans chapter 1. The problem with Romans chapter 1, almost out of time here, is it's not talking about gays. It's talking about straight adults that turn from God to gods. And God gave them over so they could go into these fertility temples and have wild out sexual ritual orgies with all kinds of manners, men, women, and whatever they in big old. Then you have the interesting little remainder of that verse that says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and these are all the horrible things, sins that they did. Now you go into real life. Look at all the gays. Wow, businesses think they're their best employers. If you commanded gays to get out of the healthcare field, it would collapse. People, I'm out of time. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And then God rose Jesus on the third day. Forgive me of my sins, come to my life. Now read the King James Bible and ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. See you next week. Never, ever, ever. Hi, how are you?